before we pray that study of passage. Psalm chapter 23. The book of Psalm chapter 23. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this is the psalm of David. When David wrote the psalm, he was inspired by God to convey the message from God. And also, he tried to convey his personal experience about God, God's message. So this psalm actually have a very meaningful teaching for every one of us. The first verse talk about our relationship with God is like a sheep and shepherd. God. So this kind of relationship is not a very standstill relationship. This kind of relationship is a living relationship. A shepherd is living one, and the sheep is living one. And shepherd and sheep are correlated, and there's an interaction there. So because of the relationship, there is a guarantee, or there's a promise, I shall not want. What does it mean, I shall not want? One day you become independent from your parents. The first thing you think about is how to pay your bill. Every month you have to pay your rent and pay your bills. So I shall not want means God will provide you enough financially so that you can survive. I shall not want also can refer to mentally, spiritually. Your heart will not be empty. Your heart will be fulfilled, will not be in a condition of void, a feeling of meaningless, emptiness there. So this is the promise of God. I shall not want. So we are living not by sight, but by faith. If we really have the faith that Jesus is my shepherd, and I be his sheep, and do according to what the shepherd want me to do, and follow him, surely we are going to experience the promise I shall not want. However, if we look into the end of verse 5, my cup runs over, or other translation, my cup overflows. In Chinese version, it's talk about the blessing. Overflow my cup. It's also very meaningful. So if you look into verse 1, the promise of God is, I shall not want. But in reality, our experience is my cup overflow, which means God's blessing to us is far more than his minimum promise. For example, if I need $2,000 to maintain my life, minimal life, but in the end, we experience that God's provision is more than $2,000. That's called my cup overflow. You know, if you put a cup on the table and you continue to pour the water into the cup, and the cup will overflow. And then you continue to pour the water into it, the water will overflow the table and overflow the whole house. So we are like a cup. If the blessing of God overflows, then this blessing not only fill upon our life, this blessing will fall upon our family. So in a family, if there's a person who really have God's blessing, like a cup overflow, and the whole family will receive the blessing too. In the church, if we have 2-3 people, really like a cup overflow, and then the whole church will receive blessing too. So this is some kind of very miraculous experience. In reality, our experience of God's blessing is far more than God's promise. So in the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, talk about we conduct ourselves not according to fleshly wisdom, but according to God's grace. You know, most of you are very smart. Every one of you are very smart. So you have your own wisdom. You have your own life planning. What kind of school I'm going to study? Right. You have your own idea. And a lot of time this kind of idea is good. But also a lot of time this idea is come from the fleshly wisdom. Not necessarily come from the wisdom above. For example, if you want to study a school very liberal and you want to study in a school in a city or in an area very liberal, right? Maybe you have your own ideal. But probably that kind of decision, lack of spiritual wisdom. Probably at the end of the study, the spirituality just declined. Right? So we are not relying on our fleshly wisdom. Regarding to the marriage, a lot of people have a lot of condition. Why? This is because they have fleshly wisdom. They look at the people around. They consider only the marriage have this kind of condition, so your family will be what? So-called happy family, much more blessed family. Oh, this is fleshly wisdom. Because of this, so they cannot choose a suitable spouse in the church. And they go out and to get married with a person they consider is very ideal one because of all different kind of condition. This come of fleshly wisdom. But what is the end? Because we go against the will of God. There's no blessing of God. If there's no blessing of God, there's no God, there's no guarantee. No. And after a few years, marriage break up. Or the husband or wife have affair with the other party. Because nowadays, if there's no fear about God, nothing is safe. No. So in the end, your marriage break up, or in the end, the children become something that you are not expecting. Not because we rely on fleshly wisdom. No. But on the other hand, if we rely on the grace of God, we just do our best to do our own part and trust the rest to God. And a family with the blessing of God is really a family life like in heaven. So when we are still in young, we have to set our mind not to rely on our own fleshly wisdom, but to rely on God's promise that we shall not be in want. Even more, our cup will overflow. Now, we look back to Psalm chapter 23. From verse 1, God's promise, I shall not want, to verse 5, my cup overflow. And there's a procedure. You have to go through verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. And go to verse 5. There's a procedure so you can experience a lot of the blessing of God. No. And if we carefully go through verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4, you're going to see all these three verses are talking how to pursue the abundant spiritual life. We all want to have abundant blessing of God, but the abundant blessing of God is correlated to the abundant spiritual life. It's correlated. So if we keep on pursuing have abundant spiritual life, and the blessing of God will naturally follow. So sometimes we kneel down and pray for this and pray for that. Probably after you pray for a long time, it seems God never answered my prayer. Oh. And what is the reason God never answered my prayer? Probably because our spirituality has problem. Oh. But on the other hand, you heard that other testimony. They did not pray for anything. They just want to advance their spirituality. They just want to pursue abundant spiritual life. And because of this, every day there's a new blessing. Every day there's a new experience about the blessing of God. So sometimes the blessing of God comes to us even you don't have to pray for it. No. So verse 2 to verse 5 is something we have to pursue. Then we are going to experience my cup overflow. Then what should we do? Let's come back to Psalm chapter 23, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. You look into verse 2, there are two words. The first word is lie down. And the second word in next sentence, still water. Lie down means what? After you have one day of hard work, you lie down on bed, very calm, you enjoy the rest. You don't have to move around. You don't have to labor anymore. Lie down. And lead me in the still water. Still means what? Stand still. Don't move. Just like a sheep enjoy the cool water and stand still there. Don't move. So, in order to advance our spirituality, we have to learn to be quiet, to lie down, and be still. And this is exactly the time we have right now. Right? In the school year, you are so busy. Sometimes you skip the breakfast. Sometimes while you are eating, you continue your reading. You have a lot of stuff to do. But summertime, you come to the church. Enjoy a period of time very quiet without the entanglement with the world and without interaction with the pressure in your study. So this is a quiet moment. It's very important. Because when we quiet down, then we can do two things. The first one is green pasture. Just like a sheep, you have to eat the grass. So spend a quiet time. You can meditate the words of God. And you can pursue the words of God. And the words of God is like a baked bread. The words of God is spirit. The words of God is life. So we pursue the words of God. You just like eat a very delicious meal. And inside the delicious meal, there are all different kind of nutrition. You lack faith, the words of God will strengthen your faith. You lack hope, the words of God will give you hope. You are very sorrow, the words of God will comfort you. You are very weak, the words of God will strengthen you. So the words of God contain all different kind of nutrition. It's suitable for our needs. So we have to come down in the green pastures. And the next one is beside the still water. And that water is the Holy Spirit. So we come down, we can meditate the words of God, and then we pursue the water of God fill upon our heart. In John chapter 6, talk about that's a living water. A water with life. A water with the life of God. A water with the power of God. Also, when this water comes into our heart, the life of God will flow into our heart. When the water come to your heart, the power is going to come to your heart. So it's so wonderful. We drink the water and we eat the grass. We can listen to the words of God and we can pray to be filled by the dynamic Holy Spirit. So this is the first step to pursue abundant life. Quiet down. Be still. Beside the still water and green pasture. And after we do this, then what should we do? The next step. Verse 3. He pastured my soul, and he led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is the one who led me in the path of righteousness. You know, a path is a route connecting 2 points. So the path of the righteousness on the one end is me. Right now, I'm here. My spirituality is in this level. I'm here. But the other end of the path is God himself. Where is God? God is in heaven. Where is God? God dwells in the light which nobody can approach. And that light represents his holiness. And that light represents his righteousness. So the way lead us from here to the righteous God is the path of righteousness. Also, the path of righteousness, according to the Bible, is just like the narrow gate and narrow path. Because it's the path of righteousness. So, after we eat the grass, we drink the water, then what do? We have to start to move. You cannot stand still here. The heavenly journey, maybe it's a 40 years journey. You have to move. So you can be closer to God. You can be closer to heaven. However, this path is a path of righteousness. So what does that mean? We cannot only eat the milk, drink the milk. We have to learn to partake the solid food. So you come here not only listen, God love you. God will strengthen you. God will listen your prayer. We are not only listen how God is going to give us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So we come here, learn how to give ourselves to God. How to sacrifice ourselves, how to deny ourselves. And that is the solid food. And that teaching is the path of righteousness. So if we are unwilling to elevate our standard higher to the standard of God, we are not walking in the path of righteousness. Even we eat a lot of words of God, even we pray, but if we are unwilling to move towards the path of righteousness, probably we are still very far away from God. And from David's experience, his interaction with 2 persons, we know he was walking in the path of righteousness. The first one is the way he interacted with Saul, the one who persecuted him, tried to kill him. If you encounter your enemy, what will you do? If you have gun, I think most of people, the first thing I will shoot the person to die. So I myself can be protected. But when Paul facing, when David facing Saul, he has nothing wrong in that encounter. But he has 2 opportunities to kill Saul. However, he chose not to kill him. There's only one reason. Because he felt Saul was an anointed one. So Saul pursuing him is because of the wrong of Saul. But if you kill Saul, then he will become unrighteous in the eyes of God. So through this kind of interaction with Saul, we can see he has higher standard.
His higher standard is not human standard. His higher standard is the standard of God. Also today, we have to interact with a lot of people around us, not only our own family member, our classmate, everywhere. Now, we have to adopt a higher standard so we walk in the path of righteousness. The second person, David, interact is Nathan. David commits serious sin. 10 commandments out of 3. 3 out of 10 he committed. It's very serious sin. So when Nathan confronted him, he did not deny, he did not defend himself, he did not attack back. When David confronted his sin, he just repented. Oh, with a contrite spirit, he repented. And this is the path of righteousness. Maybe you come here, you listen a lot of teaching, and that lots of teaching just what pinpoint your own weakness. Just pinpoint the sinful lifestyle. No, the sin you have committed. But what's the way you interact with the message? What's the way you interact with the person who pinpoint your wrongdoing? That will reveal whether we are walking in the path of righteousness. Even only after we walk in the path of righteousness, then we can be closer to God. We can experience more blessing. So the blessing is waiting for us. Where? The blessing is in God Himself. You can be closer to Him, and the blessing is there. If we are unwilling to walk in the path of righteousness, God is far away from us, and the blessing of God is far away from us. Also, we are determined not only be stand still, move on the path of righteousness. Not only so, let's come back to the next verse. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is David's personal experience. In his lifelong time, at least two times, he encountered the death like a shadow overshadowed him. The first time is when he was young. He was a shepherd. And then he encountered a lion. So what can he do? Oh, through the power of God, he defeated the lion. Oh, so he walked through the valley of the shadow of death by the power of God, by the help of God. The second time is the same thing we talk about, the soul. Oh, soul tried to kill him. So any moment, it was possible he lose his life. Oh, but in that right moment, Saul's faith was even become stronger. His reliance on God even become stronger. So sometimes God let us encounter a lot of difficulties, sickness, or this or that, like a shadow valley of death. That is to purify ourselves. Oh. If we are waiting to be purified with a heart of thanksgiving, after the purification, we are pure in heart, then we are able to see God. We are able to experience God Himself very powerfully and very vividly. Oh. And sometimes even we have nothing wrong, but the valley of shadow of death gives a lot of pressure. And this kind of pressure will push us closer to God. Oh. And once the pressure pushes us closer to God, then our relationship with God is even better. Oh, so life is easy life. According to Amos, easy life is everybody's so-called American dream. But easy life contains a lot of danger spiritually. Oh. So the book of Amos talks about what? The easy life eventually bring the Israelite destruction. So we should never envy about a person living an easy life. Yes, in a very superficial sense, it's a blessing. But from the other point of view, it may have a lot of hidden danger here. So when we encounter some kind of pressure, be thankful, because that pressure will push you closer to God and experience more blessing. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And eventually,
my cup overflow. Let's come forward and pray.